Fall of the Nazi Bell and the Rising of Alsace. Raiders in 1945 were met with a disturbing view when they jumped down brickwork stairwells to a sunken inner chamber. They discovered a human target assembly in a decoy bunker of the suspected German southern redoubt. The bunker guards had in some way produced an atomic fireball. They would not make known what happened. To observe the effects of binary fission, the beast wore a protective body suit with boots of steel and a masked helmet. The uranium-235 target was infused into the magic child with an injection of fissile isotopes designed to bond with living cells. The bunker's lone water faucet, BOAS, dripped heavy hydrogen water to moderate the atomic reaction. The floor became wet. A neutron beam was released from a Boulevard gas pipe through the bunker's air duct, Jachin. A sticky fog filled the hollow chamber and boiled along the ground. A cadmium control rod was unhooked from contact with the target assembly. Lightning flashed from the pit below the ground. Thunder wailed loudly. A glassy mist burst out of the void like a mushroom cloud. In the middle of the vacuum hovered the perception of a fantastic sphere of light with magnificent detail. The fireball was so riveting that it created an afterimage in the beast's mental vision. Everywhere he turned his eyes, he could make out the constant image of an incredible bubble with beautiful brilliance. Space-time had frozen in his trance. Every part contained the cosmic whole. The initial split second of that radiant burst was taking place everywhere, charging the dark fractals between worlds with movement like wheels within wheels. The beast was staggered by the reverie and beauty as he watched the workings of universe creation. At the center of the orb sat a human resembling figure with his right arm enveloped by a torrent of sparks in a luminous cloudburst. His appearance was ashen like snowfall. Smoke streamed from his breath. Fire flowed at his feet. The beast was shocked by what he witnessed, taken aback at the magic child's direct transformation. Mind at the speed of light had crossed to the other side, hotter than the sun. The strongest force in nature dwelt between his shoulders. Binary fission, fully awake, dividing, having, quartering, and sundering the logical elements of space-time forever. When their eyes did meet, a ghastly dread prevailed over the beast. He feared he was rushing headlong towards the center of a consuming fire. Had he offended an awful judge? In a hurry of embarrassment, the beast pulled his glance away. At that moment dimness set in. The sphere of light faded like the end of a long day. A forlorn sensation of separation gripped the beast. The void became dark once more. A bleak yearning for the phenomenal orb of light weakened his heart. The beast stood at the seat of quantum entanglement and black hole disintegration. Was the beast expelled from the presence of glory at the moment of creation? See page 29. I'm a wheel, I'm a wheel. I can roll, I can feel. And you can't stop me turning. Cause I'm the sun, I'm the sun. I can move, I can run. But you'll never stop me burning. Come down with fire. Lift my spirit higher. Someone screaming my name. Come and make me holy again. Rainbow, Man on the Silver Mountain, 1975. There are various theories, but I personally believe that the force now called radioactivity, which we know to be possessed in some degree by every particle of matter, is responsible. Our eyes are affected with the impressions of light by forces which are not in themselves recognized as luminous. Aleister Crowley, On Astral Light. Don't look at the hole for too long, the beast remembered the advice of a forbidding sea captain. But it was too late now. The beast had exposed his visceral vitality to the wormhole of quantum entanglement and black hole disintegration. Oliver Wilkinson mentioned that among Aleister Crowley's papers, there is a description of tying up a man, cutting a hole in his stomach, then inserting his penis. Colin Wilson, Aleister Crowley, The Nature of the Beast, 1987. One of the most widespread urban legends about Adolf Hitler is that he was born with one testicle, Monarchid. But most historians do not back up that opinion. American author Ron Rosenbaum, Explaining Hitler, 1998, updated 2014, recently wrote, I received a letter from one Gertrude Kurth, a psychoanalyst who during the war had participated in an OSS-sponsored attempt to evaluate the mind of Adolf Hitler. In conjunction with the study's author, Walter C. Langer, she had tracked down Hitler's family doctor, Dr. Eduard Bloch, then a Jewish refugee living in the Bronx. N.Y. Bloch had unequivocally affirmed that he had examined Hitler during his childhood and found him genitally normal. Ron Rosenbaum also cast doubt on reporter Alex Peake from the London tabloid The Sun, who claimed a new document had surfaced, the alleged testament of a priest who took the confession of a Dr. Johann Jammer. Adolf Hitler supposedly lost a testicle in the WWI Battle of the Somme, according to Alex Peake's vague tabloid tale. I've emailed him twice asking where this alleged priestly document may be found and why it couldn't be photocopied. Asked him as well where this alleged corroborating friend Hank Chuch might be reached and interviewed. No reply from Mr. Peake so far. The literature about Hitler is littered with hoaxes and urban legends, and so I call on Mr. Peake and The Sun to prove that this is not another one of them, that they haven't been taken in their eagerness. Ron Rosenbaum, Everything You Need to Know About Hitler's Missing Testicle, Slate, November 28, 2008. In 2015, German historian Peter Fleischmann said he found a lost medical exam on Hitler by Dr. Joseph Steiner Brin, a medical officer at Landsberg Prison, where Hitler was taken in 1923 after his failed beer hall putsch. Fleischmann said Hitler since birth had right-side cryptorchidism and undescended right testicle. Cryptorchidism is different from monarchism, or having only one testicle. Testis can move between the scrotum and inguinal canal. It is common for one testicle to hang lower than the other. Did Hitler lack a right testicle? As said by the 1968 Soviet report, only the right testicle was found. Jonathan Mayo and Emma Craigie claimed the dictator had a deformed micropenis. In one narrative of psychotic conduct, Aleister Crowley the Waste Wanderer had a habit of relieving his bowels on carpets while staying at posh hotels because he considered his feces to be sacred. Martin Hayes and R.H. Stewart, Aleister Crowley, Wandering the Waste, 2014, Crowley's sexual encounters included similar coprophilic perversions. Walter C. Langer's The Mind of Adolf Hitler, The Secret Wartime Report, 1972, described Hitler as having repressed homosexual tendencies and said that he was an impotent coprophile. Psychologist Henry Murray wrote a separate psychoanalytical report for OSS also in 1943, entitled Analysis of the Personality of Adolf Hitler, with predictions of his future behavior and suggestions for dealing with him now and after Germany's surrender. He also dealt with Hitler's alleged coprophilia, but overall diagnosed Hitler as schizophrenic. One of Hitler's opponents in the Nazi Party, Otto Strasser, told OSS interrogators that the Nazi dictator forced his niece Julie Rogel to urinate and defecate on him. Wikipedia.org. With regards to Julie, Wilhelm Stocker, an SA officer, decades later, wrote, "She admitted to me that at times Hitler made her do things in the privacy of her room that sickened her, but when I asked her why she didn't refuse to do them, she just shrugged and said that she didn't want to lose him to some woman that would do what he wanted." Julie Rogel, Hitler's niece, History in an Hour, September 18, 2013. Regarding this mysterious affair, informed sources tell us that on Friday, September 18, 1931, Herr Hitler and his niece had yet another fierce quarrel. What was the cause? Julie, a vivacious 23-year-old music student, wanted to go to Vienna, where she intended to become engaged. Hitler was decidedly against this. That is why they were quarreling repeatedly. After a fierce row, Hitler left his apartment on Prinz Regent 10 Platz. On Saturday, September 19, it became known that Julie had been found shot in the apartment with Hitler's gun in her hand. The nose bone of the deceased was shattered and the corpse evidenced other serious injuries. Ron Rosenbaum, Hitler's Doomed Angel, Vanity Fair, April 1992. Hitler's mistress Eva Braun attempted suicide on at least two occasions, 1932 and 1935. After the second suicide attempt, Hitler seemed to have become more committed to her, providing her with a mansion in Munich, a Mercedes sedan, a chauffeur, and a maid. Some within Hitler's staff referred to him as Der Teppichfresser, the carpet eater, after seeing him fly into a rage so intense that it left him on the floor gripping the carpet with his teeth and fists. In the darkest recesses of his mind, the Führer experienced inexplicable hallucinations. The Empty Mirror is a 1996 feature-length film using historical images and speculative fiction to study the life and mind of Adolf Hitler. The film premiered at the Cannes International Film Festival and was released by Lionsgate Films. Hermann Röschning, the governor of Danzig and confidant of the German dictator, claimed that Hitler often suffered terrible nightmares and awoke many times to see a phantom-like being in his room. In his 1939 book Hitler Speaks, Röschning gave an account of the Führer's night terror. A person close to Hitler told me that he wakes up in the night, screaming and in convulsions. He calls for help, and appears to be half paralyzed. He is seized with a panic that makes him tremble until the bed shakes. He utters confused and unintelligible sounds, gasping, as if on the point of suffocation. The same person described to me one of these fits, with details I would refuse to believe had I not complete confidence in my informant. Hitler was standing up in his room, swaying and looking all round as if he were lost. It's he, groaned, he's come for me. His lips were white, he was sweating profusely, suddenly he screamed, there. There. Over in the corner. He is there. One of the most bizarre contemporary mysteries is the Men in Black, MIB, experience. It involves subtle intimidation by strange visitors dressed almost entirely in black. Shortly after sighting an aerial phenomenon, the person in question is visited by odd men who usually wear black suits, black ties, and white shirts. Some suggest that they are from another world, disguising themselves as humans to learn our ways. According to writer Nick Redfern, they may be working for government agencies or the CIA. The new man is living amongst us now? He is here. Isn't that enough for you? I will tell you a secret. I have seen the new man. He is intrepid and cruel. I was afraid of him. Hermann Röschning, Hitler Speaks, 1939. On a cool and misty morning north of the Nile, as I sat near the harbor of an ancient isle, he walked by the waterfront and watched me for a while. The man in black arrived, looking absolutely normal, at twilight's top part. His attire was dark and formal, exclusively ported by a man with a cart. His appearance was that of a wealthy young regent, a minister bridegroom or government agent. Embedded in the flagstone between us was a seal, the cap of an old well water pipe wheel. An intelligence operative walked from a Mediterranean cruise ship through the streets of a scenic port. The security mentor paced the waterfront by a corsair's well sealed with seven seals. In his mind's eye, the intelligence guardian pictured the magic child in the flare-up of an atom smasher. He visualized the destiny of life locked in the pathway of binary fission, fully awake. "This is my father," the man in black said. "Do you know what I must do?" Who would have considered that a well below the sea might emerge as a threat to our modern civilization? The apocalypse foreshadowed a well or bottomless pit in the chasm of an abyss that would unleash disasters upon the world. Psychologists hold the idea of a well or figurative tunnel as a representation of the subconscious mind. A 4th century apocalypse of Paul described a well sealed with seven seals, and afflictions issuing from the mouth of that well. On April 20, 2010, the Deepwater Horizon oil drilling rig of British Petroleum, BP, exploded in the Gulf of Mexico. The blast killed 11 platform workers and injured 17 others. The seafloor gusher became the largest marine oil spill recorded in history. If not contained, it would possibly impact all the oceans of the world. The first seal broke in April. The second seal fractured in May. The third seal splintered in June. Before the toxic oil outflow finally ebbed 3 months after it burst, emergency task forces feared their last option might be a nuclear seal to plug up the gushing well below the seafloor. The Man from Elysian Fields is a 2001 drama film directed by George Hickenlooper, and starring Andy Garcia, Mick Jagger, Olivia Williams, Juliana Margulies, and James Coburn. In the psychological drama, Garcia plays a writer whose first novel, a mystery called Hitler's Son, failed to set the literary world on fire. The person in charge of an elite male escort service, with the ambiguously satanic name Luther Fox, Jagger, recruits the struggling writer. Fox runs Elysian Fields, an escort service for well-to-do women looking for intelligent companionship. Balanced between sadness and sardonic wit, Luther quickly discovers his own self-deception relating to life. Docked behind the old scientist guard was a hulking metallic object that resembled a golden oyster shell. "He is there," the old scientist gestured behind his shoulder. A young investment banker walked slowly toward the rounded object and quickly stepped back when he noticed a mist of steam condensing around its hydraulics. "It is a cryonic incubator," the scientist guard said with a glare. "Just how long has he been frozen like this?" "Since the Cold War," the old scientist guard replied. "He is over 120 years old." "How on earth were you able to do this?" asked the young businessman. "Everyone else failed. Because everyone else froze dead bodies," the scientist guard said. "We froze him alive. Surely you have heard of the frozen embryo? He is frozen alive. But do not be troubled. He is not ice covered as you may suppose. We use cryonics to fine-tune the temperature of his body. But it is the hydrogen sulfide gas that actually keeps him suspended in unchanging sleep. The marvel of the 20th century." Some years later, the same entrepreneur returned to the isolated metallic incubator yet again. "They lied to me," he whispered angrily to the old scientist guard. "They said he was my grandfather." "It wasn't my plan," the old scientist replied with a defiant stare. "He wished to be associated with a foremost American family. So they floated the pretext of your dear grandmother in Paris. And they told other lies about me," the annoyed capitalist bellowed. "You wanted to accept as true that he was your next of kin," the scientist guard yelled back. "But you failed to understand that nothing of human character could ever arouse the beast." "They lied to me," the enraged oil entrepreneur whispered once more. "We'll escort him into the deepest well ever drilled," he challenged the old scientist and left. According to a well-known History Channel program, a Czech quarry 20 miles from Prague called America was where German Nazi scientists developed a strange uranium doomsday device, which, upon the dictator's death, would drill to the core of the Earth and destroy the planet in a dramatic climax. Tests allegedly began at Furstenstein Castle. In 2008, a German who claimed to have worked on Project Verdurbin said it was a bomb capable of destroying a populace and leaving its wealth intact. It was meant to be used on the Americans. Nazi Karl Ramsort talked of Project SS-1040 or Zeitanlage. This pursuit led Germany to develop what has been called the Nazi Bell, Die Glock. Author Joseph P. Farrell described it as a hyperdimensional physics device, resembling a sort of steampunk science apparatus. In 1993, the Argentine government disclosed a classified report that in May 1945 a German aircraft arrived in Entre Rios where it unloaded the Bell. It was originally under the care of the Heereswaffenamt, Weaponry Office, as Project Thor. According to Nick Cook, the British aviation editor of Jane's Defense Weekly, the mysterious Glock Nazi Bell artifact represented cutting-edge technology. In his 2010 book Babylon's Banksters, Joseph P. Farrell said that after the war, the United States made every effort to reconstruct the personnel team that worked on the Nazi Bell, so that they could develop the technology for themselves and restore the balance of power between Nazi international and Anglo-American elite factions. Already the paths through Nazi Germany's nuclear programs have led into very unexpected places and developments only made possible by the recent German reunification and the declassification of German, British, and American archives that it provoked, and suggesting that behind that nuclear program lurks something even larger and far more monstrous. In any case, it now seems clear why, in spite of Oppenheimer's statement in the middle of May 1945 that the earliest an atom bomb could be ready was in November of 1945, that America was able to overcome all fusing problems and fissile material shortages in a mere 2 months after the German surrender. According to Italian correspondent Luigi Romersa, who was present at a gathering of Axis elite in April 1944, the Nazi Führer strolled through the room and said, "We have invisible aircraft, submarines, colossal tanks and cannon, unbelievably powerful rockets, and a bomb with a working that will astonish the whole world. The enemy knows this, and besieges and attempts to destroy us. But we will answer this destruction with a storm, and that without unleashing a bacteriological war, for which we are also prepared." Joseph P. Farrell, Reich of the Black Sun, 2004. A storm bomb that will astonish the whole world. What was the Glock Nazi Bell? Were German scientists realistically trying to bring forth a plasma generator? If you generate a torsion field of sufficient magnitude, the theory says, you can bend the four dimensions of space around the generator. When you bend space, you also bend time. Were they trying to build a time weapon? Closed time-like curve, see page 450. The abandoned Czech limestone quarry Big America is 800 meters long, 200 meters wide and 80 to 100 meters deep, with an 18-meter deep lake on the bottom. Other reports said the German apparatus was in the Wenceslas mine near the Czech border. Long tunnels connect the quarries with each other. As said by History Channel, the ultimate Nazi doomsday weapon was purportedly developed to drill to the core of the Earth and devastate the planet. Since it was to be used upon the dictator's death, perhaps the eerie physics device was the Führer's own casket. A scrupulous boss looked out of a window over Washington, D.C. In the Access lobby, a fact-finding assembly was hearing statements from an oil well platform engineer. Ready teams of corporate lawyers, appointed to reduce the turmoil of upcoming lawsuits, were also present. "What is the explanation of this?" the tall man asked. "We call it a junk shot," the platform worker replied. "We use pipes and high-pressure pumping systems to basically pump sealing materials like shredded tires, knotted ropes, and golf balls into an oil well leak. This time it was a burial at sea called Aryan Escort. The junk shot that went wrong." "Burial at sea?" the person in charge asked. One of the oil cartel lawyers quickly touched the controls of a large monitor. "Sea burial is a lawful service in the United States and many other countries," the swaying attorney interposed. "The captain or commanding officer of a ship can bury remains at sea, if the location is at least 600 feet deep. There are commercial services that do it for a fee." After a thought-out silence, the lawyer continued. "The deceased in this case was an elderly financier who secured burial at sea without religious ceremony, as a confidential funeral. Clearly, no laws were disobeyed in that aspect of your inquiry. Therefore, if you maintain to challenge the deceased's principles, please be aware that your assembly has no authority to divulge the confidentiality of a departed charitable banker and obliging campaign contributor." Brotherhood of the Bell is a 1970 made-for-TV movie starring Glenn Ford and directed by Paul Wendkos. A successful economics professor partakes in an initiation ceremony for a new member of a fraternity to which he belongs. But the professor must pay the price for being a member of the fraternity, which is a front for a powerful secret society. Ignorant of the group's true aim at first, he is ordered to blackmail a close friend who at once commits suicide. The Brotherhood of the Bell is sinister and subversive. In 2013, the CIA released previously classified documents that acknowledged the existence of Area 51 as a top-secret U.S. government research facility. The documents were released in response to a Freedom of Information Act request submitted in 2005 by Jeffrey T. Rich Elson, a senior fellow at the National Security Archives. Originally, the CIA had released a heavily redacted document with all mention of Area 51 blacked out. This new document reveals pretty much everything except names of military personnel and private citizens involved. Nancy Atkinson, CIA's declassified documents reveal secrets about Area 51 and UFOs, Universe Today, August 16, 2013. Area 51, about 80 miles northwest of Las Vegas, is the most famous secret military installation in the world. Sensational stories have played out in pop culture for decades. Bob Lazar, a physicist who said he worked at the military research site, made Area 51 a household name. Lazar claimed that he had worked as a scientist on reverse engineering alien technology. After years of denial, the CIA released a 355-page document in the summer of 2013, which officially states that Area 51 in Nevada does exist. Its existence has been a badly kept secret for decades, and it has fueled the imaginations of conspiracy theorists and UFO hunters around the world. Now the existence of Area 51 has been officially acknowledged by the Central Intelligence Agency and its exact location revealed in Nevada. Documents released by the CIA also reveal that there really have been some strange occurrences at the secret airbase, however, they are not quite as exciting as UFO hunters would like. Richard Gray, Area 51 exists and there were strange goings on, admit CIA, The Telegraph, August 16, 2013. Situated in the desert in southern Nevada, within the boundaries of the Nellis Air Force Range, NAFR, and just outside of the northeast corner of the Nevada Test Site, NTS, Area 51 and its neighbors, which also includes the Tonopah Test Range, TTR, have hosted some of the most significant weapons testing performed on the planet during the 20th century. In addition to isolation, the 3.5 million acre region around and including Area 51 boasts other qualities that make it an excellent place to conduct secret tests and training. The dry climate provides superior flying conditions, the variety of terrain helps with gunnery practice, and several dry lake beds are available for emergency landings, including, notably, Groom Lake, situated just north of Area 51. Why is it called Area 51? Gizmodo, January 13, 2015. During World War II, the German National Southern Redoubt, or National Fortress, was alleged to be the Area 51 of the Third Reich. It was said to be an area to which the remnant forces of Germany could be withdrawn if the main battle had been lost, or even in advance if defeat was considered unavoidable. A number of intelligence reports to the Supreme Headquarters of the Allied Expeditionary Forces, SCHAEF, said the Nazi fortress held stores of foodstuffs and military supplies built up over the preceding months, and could even be harboring armaments production facilities. Within this fortified terrain, they said, Hitler would be able to evade the Allies and cause tremendous difficulties for the occupying Allied forces throughout Germany. On the other hand, the Allies did not really know precisely where the so-called Nazi Alpine Fortress, Alpenfestung, was located. Intelligence reports believed the redoubt could be in parts of southern Germany, Austria, and northern Italy. The Nazi Germany Minister for Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, set up a special unit to invent and spread rumors about an Alpenfestung. Goebbels also sent out rumors to neutral governments, thus keeping the redoubt myth alive and its state of readiness unclear. He enlisted the assistance of the intelligence service of the SS, the SD, to produce faked blueprints and reports on construction supplies, armament production, and troop transfers to the redoubt. This successful and utter deception of Allied military intelligence is considered to be one of the greatest feats of the German Abwehr during the entire war. Wikipedia.org. The U.S. Alsos mission to locate Area 51 of the Third Reich was commanded by Colonel Boris Pasch, a former Manhattan Project security officer. Dr. Samuel Goudsmit was its scientific leader. The mission tracked down uranium materials in France, Belgium, and Germany. It also investigated chemical and biological weapons. A number of European physicists, including Leo Szilard, Enrico Fermi, and Emilio Segre, were extremely worried about a German effort to build an atomic bomb. After all, uranium had been split for the first time in Nazi Germany in 1938, and German physicists such as Werner Heisenberg and Carl Friedrich von Weizsäcker were regarded as leaders in their field. Many believed that Germany might have as much as a two-year lead in the development of a nuclear weapon. Unless the United States had positive knowledge to the contrary, they assumed that the most competent German scientists and engineers were working on an atomic program with the full capacity of German industry at their disposal. The Alsos Mission, Atomic Heritage Foundation. Alsos is Greek for sacred grove, a garden, or park of amusement and athletics, for example, Disneyland, or Bohemian Grove. In the Villa of Ormen stands a solitary candle. David Bowie, Black Star, 2015. The first Alsos mission went to Italy in 1943. The group returned without any clues. Had the Alsos squads looked into Greece, maybe they would have hit upon some interesting evidence related to the Metaxas Line, a chain of armed forces fortifications along the line of the Greco-Bulgarian border. The constructions are so sturdy that they survive to this day, some of which are still in active service. Some of them are open to the public. The HS Leon, D-54, was a cannon-class destroyer that served with the Greek Navy, 1951-1992. The ship had formerly served with the United States Navy under the name USS Eldridge, D-173, famous for its supposed role in the Philadelphia experiment. The HS Leon was transferred to Greece in 1951 under the Mutual Defense Assistance Program and was decommissioned on November 15, 1992. It was traded as scrap after 1999. Investigators of the Philadelphia experiment hunted without success for hints of coolant pumps, nuclear fuel elements, or isotope production. However, a handful of observers said that mechanical assemblies of the Eldridge's reactor were removed and transferred to advanced facilities. The Demokritos Center in Athens, the prime and most eminent nuclear research center in Greece, employing more than 1,000 researchers, started its operation in 1959 as an independent division of the public sector. Named in honor of the Greek atomist philosopher Demokritos, the Athens reactor became critical on 27 July 1961. In July 2013, the general director of one of Russia's largest shipbuilders, Alexander Voznesensky, announced to reporters that a floating nuclear power plant was under construction at one of Russia's shipyards. It embarked on its first voyage from St. Petersburg to Murmansk in 2018. The Russians were calling it a floating power station. The vessel was given the name Academic Lomonosov. Physical.org shared some details. Lomonosov said that plans are underway to build a fleet of the floating platforms to provide cities and towns across Russia with electricity for general use and more specifically for heating homes and businesses. The Academic Lomonosov will be capable of generating 70 MW of electricity enough to power a city of 200,000 people. Russians to deploy floating nuclear power plant, physical.org, July 10, 2013. The Lycabettus funicular was inaugurated on April 18, 1965. It is a railway elevator tunnel to the peak of Mount Lycabettus in the Greek city of Athens. Mount Lycabettus was used as a military citadel since ancient times. The Davlis Cave, Cave of Pan, on Mount Penteli was acknowledged since the 5th century BC. The builders of the Athens Acropolis used the surrounding area as a marble quarry, and the cave was revealed by accident, during mining for the extraction of marble. The cave's designation comes from the legend that an infamous 19th century bandit named Davlis used it as a hideout. Construction work started in 1977 at the cave. Rumors circulated that the Greek government was making it more accessible for national defense purposes. Experiments took place in the cave or in the artificial tunnels around it. Greek actor Alex Galfies, 1948-2007, cited a research piece on Lycabettus for this report. He opened the first Patmos Drifter rock bar. A few local fundamentalists did not care for jazz music. Lipsy and Patmos were safe house quarters of the November 17 terrorist group, led by economics professor Alexandros Jitopoulos. Alex Galfies played the role of Jesus in a 1975 TV adaptation of Nikos Kazantzakis' Christ Recrucified. In the 1990s, a 3D computer game called Wolfenstein appeared on the cyber scene and quickly became a trendsetter, which led to the popular sequels of Doom and Quake. Wolfenstein, Rock of the Wolf, was an imaginary assault into a Nazi mountain fortress characteristic of the German National Redoubt legend. An object of the computer game was to pass through steel doors and move within cavernous tunnels in order to locate lost occult artifacts and hidden treasures. A 2017 sequel, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, deliberately showed Hitler without a mustache. But in the real world of the 1990s, another Rock of the Wolf was reported in some newspapers from the Balkan Peninsula, an area of Southeast Europe consisting of present-day Greece. The occasion was Athens' official recognition of the Embassy of Israel. To set in motion the opening of new diplomatic relations, Greece allowed the public to view an historical site, a Nazi underground prison which had been built by German architects close to the foot of Athens' Lycabettus Hill just prior to the Second World War. Originally planned as a big underground bomb shelter, the double basement bunker was quickly transformed into a harsh place of captivity, torture, and death when Germany invaded and occupied Greece in 1941. A distinctive feature of this two-storied underground prison was that it remained a very well-kept secret, although Nazi intelligence officers like Kurt Waldheim knew of atrocities committed by German army units in Greece. The prison was concealed under a downtown movie theater guilelessly located opposite the prestigious Athens Academy. Apparently, targeted Gestapo suspects were lured into the cinema, seized under the cover of indoor darkness and dragged to the hidden bunker prison of the theater, never to be seen again. The method of punishment used there was also particular. According to cell graffiti, prisoners were not starved to death as in numerous Nazi death camps. Instead, they were forced to die of thirst. In the absence of drinking water, death usually occurs after 10 days. Objects found in the underground prison included iron handcuffs and hole-riddled tin cups to taunt those dying of thirst. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Not by chance, just a short walk away, below the hill of Lycabettus, near a street called Merlin, was the Balkan administrative center of the Gestapo. In fact, most of the stylish Lycabettus Kolonaki district was under strict Nazi control during the war period. The name Lycabettus is actually related to the word lucid, based on Luke meaning twilight, i.e., Lucifero Hill. Lycos also means wolf, example Rock of the Wolf. As drilling for the Athens Metro subway began in that area in 1997, workers were surprised to discover underground water containments that were not marked on any municipal charts or maps. Were the water stores part of a concealed infrastructure installed in Athens, Dexamini, by Nazi architects before the war began? Remaining stocks of 1930s Norwegian heavy water, deuterium produced by electrolysis at the Vemork Norsk hydro plant, for Germany's nuclear energy plan had not been found. As Berlin geared up for the 1936 Olympic Games, the Greek city of Athens was being modernized with underground public water and electricity by Bavarian firms of the Stavridis Committee. The famous 1933 Athens Charter, Chart d'Athens, was an urban development conference attended to by the Swiss architect L. E. Corbusier. Pro-Nazi urban planners in those decades were not unwilling to use forced labor and, it seems, may have had a hidden agenda of their own. A self-governing, Masonic street-building society called ETMO was placed in charge of the Athens subway system and given custody of public parks, including the Acropolis, independent of the mayor or district councils. On the sides of Lycabettus Hill, tourists and visitors are sometimes amazed to encounter large steel military doors in the rock, reminiscent of scenes from classic war movies. Accessed above and across a Kolonaki street named Navarinu, it is evident that parts of Lycabettus Hill are cavernous within and contain cannons and mounted guns that command the key sea channel of Piraeus. The huge caverns, corridors, and rooms inside the raised mass of earth were certainly used for the Nazi war machine. When asked what's in there today, Greek military officials have a standard answer: the Germans emptied out the caves before they retreated. Any German war machinery or technical equipment is no longer there. Some of the cavern access points were damaged with explosives, so the exact entrances cannot be located. Most of them are sealed shut. Today the military features of Lycabettus Hill belong to NATO, which uses it basically as a storehouse. A funicular tunnel of steel rails, drawing small railway carriages by cable through the base of the mountain and up to its top, offers a persuasive demonstration that Lycabettus is indeed hollow within. A series of complex military bunkers deep inside the mountain of Lycabettus, designed by Bavarian city planners, with a subterranean engine that provides power to run the cabled hoisting machine, uncannily resembles Hitler's mysterious eagle's nest, or his rumored southern redoubt fortress. An engineering mystery of Lycabettus Hill is its large, horseshoe-shaped drainage canal. Observers wonder why the canal encircling a few miles of central Athens leaves the Kolonaki, Parliament and Embassy, area entirely vulnerable to flooding. There is no canal there, the only way to the top of the hill. What may seem to be a vast rainwater drainage system could serve well as a moat to make access to the hill difficult for siege weapons. How was the hill of Lycabettus actually used by the Nazis during the Second World War? What kind of tunnel system connected its many secret doors and caverns to the streets below and to nearby buildings, like the Nazi prison discovered beneath a stylish movie theater? Author Alex Morton, who once campaigned for the Borland Software Corporation, reflected on how to make known the overhaul of a multi-story underground car park. Had Germany hidden a southern redoubt in the Alpine mountain area, it would have been subjected to unrelenting air raids and assaults if ever traced by the Allies. But the bombing of a subterranean fortress in Athens, secretly built by prisoners transported with underground trains, containing priceless ancient monuments and relics of Western civilization, would have swiftly produced the world's utmost condemnation. On April 24, 1945, the defeated Führer issued an order for the evacuation of remaining government personnel from Berlin to the secretive southern redoubt fortress. You will see the awful horror spoken of by Daniel the prophet, in the place where it should not be. Note to the reader, be sure to understand what this means. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Mark 13:14. Werner Heisenberg was the German physicist and theorist who discovered a way to formulate quantum mechanics in terms of matrices. For that discovery, he was awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics for 1932. In 1927 he published his Uncertainty Principle, upon which he built his philosophy and for which he is best known. The discovery of nuclear fission pushed the atomic nucleus into the center of attention. After the German invasion of Poland in 1939, Heisenberg was drafted to work for the Army Weapons Bureau on the problem of nuclear energy. At first commuting between Leipzig and the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, KWI, for physics in Berlin and, after 1942, as director at the latter, Heisenberg took on a leading role in Germany's nuclear research. Given the Nazi context, this role has been enormously controversial. Heisenberg's research group was unsuccessful, of course, in producing a reactor or an atomic bomb. In explanation, some accounts have presented Heisenberg as simply incompetent, others, conversely, have suggested he deliberately delayed or sabotaged the effort. It is clear in retrospect that there were indeed critical mistakes at several points in the research. Likewise, it is apparent that the German nuclear weapons project as a whole was not possessed of the same degree of enthusiasm that pervaded the Manhattan Project in the United States. Richard Baylor, Britannica. Controversy has also swirled around Heisenberg's lectures in countries such as Denmark and the Netherlands during the war years. These trips outside of Germany were necessarily taken with the approval of German authorities and hence were perceived by colleagues in the occupied countries as indicating Nazi leaders' endorsement of Heisenberg and vice versa. Most notorious in this regard was a trip to Copenhagen in September 1941, during which Heisenberg raised the subject of nuclear weapons research in a conversation with Bohr, offending and alarming the latter, though Heisenberg later claimed that Bohr's reaction rested on some misunderstanding. R. Baylor, Britannica. Morris Moberg was an American Major League Baseball player who also later served as a spy for the Office of Strategic Services, OSS, During the Second World War, Berg played a total of 15 Major League Baseball seasons with the Chicago Red Sox. In 1944, Berg was assigned the task of attending a lecture given by Werner Heisenberg in Zurich. If Mo Berg came to the belief that the Germans were close to the making of an atomic bomb, he had orders to carry a shoulder-holstered pistol and to assassinate Heisenberg. Berg determined that the Germans were not close. A committee of Nazi-affiliated physicists promoted the initiative of German or Aryan physics, opposed to a purportedly Jewish influence manifested in abstract mathematical approaches, especially relativity and quantum theories. Nazi guidelines excluding non-Aryans or the politically unreliable from the civil service meant the dismissal or resignation of numerous professors and academics, including Born, Einstein, and Schrödinger, and some of Werner Heisenberg's students and colleagues in Leipzig. Goebbels' deception plan over the so-called German Area 51 was one of the great successes of Nazi intelligence during World War II. The Allied intelligence services were completely fooled by Goebbels' false trail of rumors. As Nazi Germany began to crumble, Third Reich propaganda experts, led by Dr. Goebbels, who had palpably spread the rumor of a southern redoubt or Alpine fortress, were now the first to categorically deny its existence. Hitler was never in a redoubt mountain fortress but always in Berlin, they insisted. It was a hoax, they said, and should be disregarded. Allied officer General Omar Bradley later wrote, "The redoubt existed largely in the imagination of a few fanatical Nazis. It grew into so exaggerated a scheme that I am astonished we could have believed it as innocently as we did." Author Stephen E. Ambrose thought assessments of the redoubt fortress were the worst intelligence reports of all time. Yet for a few fanatical Nazis, the redoubt uranium engine still awaited the quiet push of reawakening, somewhere in a mountain base. In mint condition, was it forced to shut down in 1945? In 2016, the IMF apologized for the immolation of Greece. Greece emerged from 9 years of austerity and Eurozone emergency bailouts in August 2018. The Metaxas Line fortification was named after Yanis Metaxas, a Greek general and dictator, serving as Prime Minister of Greece from 1936 until his death in 1941. He governed constitutionally for the first 4 months of his term, and after that as the strongman of the 4th of August regime, which took its name from a self-coup carried out by Metaxas, with royalist support, on August 4, 1936. King George II of Greece took the throne on September 27, 1922. In the following year, however, his own government exiled him while it considered the form of government for Greece's future. He was officially deposed on March 25, 1924, when Greece became a republic. In March 1935, a revolt led by Eleftherios Venizelos, who was opposed to monarchy, failed, and in the following October, ballot votes reinforced the royalist majority, which allowed the exiled King George II to return to Greece. Yanis Metaxas was a staunch monarchist. Many Greeks believed that King George II was a factor of Metaxas' conspiracy. In 1936, General Yanis Metaxas seized power after asserting that the nation was on the verge of being taken over by the communists. The king's support of Metaxas put the throne in a controversial position, particularly after Metaxas banned political parties, dissolved parliament, suspended constitutional rights, and even decreed the censorship of Pericles' great funeral oration to the Athenians as recorded by Thucydides. George II, King of Greece, Britannica. Once war started, Metaxas refused to accept Mussolini's ultimatum to surrender and pledged his loyalty to the Anglo-Greek alliance. But near the war's end, it was reported that British troops opened fire on Greek demonstrators from the Grande Bretagne Hotel in Athens on December 3, 1944. It was widely perceived that the British persuaded Greek collaborators with the Nazis to fire upon a civilian crowd in the Hellenic Parliament's Syntagma Square. Mikis Theodorakis, renowned composer and iconic figure in modern Greek history, daubed a Greek flag in the blood of those who fell. Britain's logic was brutal and perfidious. Prime Minister Winston Churchill considered the influence of the Communist Party within the resistance movement he had backed throughout the war the National Liberation Front, EAM to have grown stronger than he had calculated, sufficient to jeopardize his plan to return the Greek king to power and keep communism at bay. So he switched allegiances to back the supporters of Hitler against his own erstwhile allies. Ed Volume and Helena Smith, Athens 1944, Britain's Dirty Secret, The Observer, November 30, 2014. When 28 civilians were killed in Athens, it wasn't the Nazis who were to blame, it was the British. Winston Churchill's disgraceful decision to turn on the partisans who had fought on Britain's side in the war sowed the seeds for the rise of the far right in Greece. The Battle of Crete began on May 20, 1941. On the night of May 30, 1941, Manolis Glezos and Apostolos Santos climbed on the Acropolis of Athens and tore down the Nazi flag. Resistance groups destroyed the Gorgopotamos Viaduct Bridge in central Greece on November 25, 1942. Manolis Glezos was a Syriza candidate for the European Parliament in the elections of May 25, 2014. He was elected to the European Parliament with more votes, over 430,000, than any other candidate in Greece. At age 91, Manolis Glezos was the oldest person elected to the European Parliament in the 2014 election. The Nazi forces took a forced loan from the Bank of Greece to justify the expenses of maintaining an occupation army in Greece. Archaeological treasures were stolen. Information on the size of the financial obligations of Germany to Greece are estimated, 1944 prices, to amount to at least 11 billion euros for the forced Nazi loan and over 110 billion euros for war reparations. Taking into account interest rates since then, the total Greek claims from Germany exceed 450 euros BN. Basil A. Koronakis, Greece and Germany in Cold War, New Europe, March 11, 2015. After the Greek military coup d'état of April 21, 1967, Nixon and Kissinger's chosen intermediary with the Greek junta was Standard Oil's Thomas Pappas. Pappas was a conservative Greek-American businessman who had endeared himself to Nixon by delivering a contribution of $549,000 in cash to John Mitchell for Nixon's 1968 campaign. The money came directly from the KYP, the Greek equivalent of the CIA. Its receipt was doubly illegal, author Christopher Hitchens wrote. Foreign governments are prohibited from making campaign donations. And given that the KYP was in receipt of CIA subsidies, there existed the further danger that American intelligence money was being recycled back into the American political process in direct violation of the CIA's own charter. Christopher Hitchens, The Trial of Henry Kissinger, 2001. Doxiadis Associates, a company of architects and engineers, was regularly connected with the Greek recovery program, especially in the region of Lycabettus. Rumors said Doxiadis started the first mainframe supercomputer networks in Greece. In the late 1950s, Konstantinos Doxiadis, one of the leading figures of modern Greek architecture, was looking for a site to build his new company's Athens offices. He selected a plot in the pine-clad foothills of Mount Lycabettus, a vantage point that afforded sweeping views of the city as far as the sea. 1. Athens. Acoustics, or the science of human settlement, was a new concept in urban planning developed by Konstantinos Doxiadis, the architect who during the 1950s and 1960s built new towns throughout the Middle East and Africa. He was a leading figure in U.S. Cold War policy. One question was put very bluntly: was Doxiadis a spy for the CIA? In 1960, he was a member of the select group that attended the conference on the new Arab metropolis, together with Hassan Fathi, then a member of his office. These conferences were initiated by the CIA and paid for by the Ford Foundation. Of course, Doxiadis's involvement with the Congress does not prove he was a CIA agent, but it does allude to a hypothesis on the meaning of his work for the CIA and the Ford Foundation that would explain their strong preference for Doxiadis's work. Michel Provost, New Towns on the Cold War Frontier, Eurozine, 2006. A fascist police sergeant nicknamed Diavandroutis intimidated wandering visitors near Lycabettus Hill. A secret reunion was scheduled in another neighborhood of Athens. The ambassador's residence was like a wax museum, a collection of rare artifacts and objects of historical importance. The ambassador marveled at the advances of modern science. Water, natural gas, and electricity could now be piped directly into houses. What will be next? He openly wondered. The adamant chancellor was not paying attention. His feelings instead focused on a Quaker donor insemination and the fate of test tube brothers. Clyde Tuckamore had penetrated the British consul. Jarvis Gerber was preparing a place for himself in the Kremlin. And Gustav Parker was planning eugenics experiments in South America. Plumbing, the adamant chancellor said to himself. The riddle of genocide was in the showers. The evil genius of the beast was to alter the main water works of Europe into a dual-purpose uranium engine. At the sound of air raid sirens, Europe's leaders would run to their fortifications only to discover that the piped water supply had been fracked with the death ray. Honey, why are both taps hot? A woman in a kitchen impatiently asked her husband. The adamant chancellor daydreamed. The far-right Greek political organization Golden Dawn, Chrissy Avgy, was accused of carrying out acts of violence and hate crimes against immigrants, political opponents, and ethnic minorities. During the Greek economic crisis, Golden Dawn won enough votes in the national elections of May 6, 2012, to give the party its first seats in the parliament. The Golden Dawn party expressed sympathy with Yanis Metaxas and was described as neo-Nazi by the global news media. The Tania newspaper claimed that the Golden Dawn had close relationships with parts of the Greek police force, Troika Bodyguard. Other sources alleged that the Golden Dawn party was being furtively maneuvered by the center-right New Democracy, ND, party of Prime Minister Antonis Samaras. In a snap election of January 2015, the coalition of the radical left, known by its acronym, SYRIZA, defeated the incumbent New Democracy and went on to become the largest party in the Hellenic Parliament. The election of SYRIZA marked a watershed moment for Europe. With party chairman Alexis Tsipras serving as Prime Minister of Greece, SYRIZA became the first far-left government in modern Europe. SYRIZA had to find the middle ground on its pre-election promises after meeting with Germany and creditors, but the Greek people were reassured that the rising of Alsos was under new management. British citizens voted in June 2016 to Brexit, British exit, the European Union. Theresa May became British Prime Minister following the somber resignation of David Cameron. 'Cause for 24 years I've been living next door to Alice. Smokey, Living Next Door to Alice, 1976. From April through December of 1945, 10 of Nazi Germany's greatest nuclear physicists were detained by Allied military and intelligence services in a kind of gilded cage at Farm Hall, an English country manor near Cambridge. Many of their meetings and private conversations were being monitored and recorded by British agents. Jeremy Bernstein, Hitler's Uranium Club, The Secret Recordings at Farm Hall, 2001. As World War II neared its end, the SS allegedly executed witnesses who saw the Glock. The Nazi bell resembled a NASA manned space capsule and supposedly used mercury and rare materials. Was the Führer's casket a drill tool attempting to dig a hole to Earth's core and create a sharp fissure? Reports quoted Russian scientists suggesting that an underwater nuclear blast could be used nicely to seal off BP's Deepwater Horizon well. A nuclear blast was first used in 1966. To put out a well fire in Uzbekistan. Corey Flintoff, stopping a spill? There's always the nuclear option, NPR, June 4, 2010. Was the Glock sent to the Gulf of Mexico from Argentina by a Halliburton treaty for large drill bit tools? Hillary Clinton's emails confirmed that the Secretary of State gave preferential treatment to her son-in-law by following up on a request to give Neptune Minerals an audience with government officials. Crown Minerals regulated Neptune Minerals deep-sea mining. What happened was her 2017 book claiming interference by Russia. A fake news website called YourNewsWire was accused of being a Russian proxy. Hillary Clinton's handling of emails on an unsecured server underlined how her State Department term was possibly a pay-to-play operation. Even as reports blasted Donald Trump for the sexism, racism, and bigotry he spewed in his 2016 presidential campaign, leaked 2014 emails of Clinton acknowledged that her sponsor regimes of Saudi Arabia and Qatar also helpfully supported ISIS. WikiLeaks organizer Julian Assange hinted that Seth Rich, a Democratic National Committee staff member who was murdered in 2016, was a source for hacked emails. It was also suggested that Clinton campaign leader John Podesta and his lobbyist brother attended a Crowley rite of spirit cooking involving artist Marina Abramovic. The Lady Babylon troop backers purportedly painted with blood, sperm, and breast milk, and maybe some were linked to chaotic sex trafficking.